And Mark 16 and verse 20 will be our main passage. And David Cutter, if you'll get that for us, Mark 16:20, Hosea 4 and verse 6, Daniel Swope, if you'll get that, Hosea 4, 6. Okay, we're going to continue our series that we've been looking at on concert ministry. And so in this, we've looked a couple of lessons already. And so today I want to emphasize the need to create a salvation atmosphere. And just by illustration, there's a man by the name of Jerome Ossentowski. He's able to grow bananas at 7,200 feet in the Colorado Rockies. Not only does he grow bananas, which if you're not aware is tropical, okay, in the Colorado Rockies, he grows figs, berries, olives, stone fruit, and much more. So how does he accomplish this? It's through a series of greenhouses on his property. He uses these greenhouses to recreate an atmosphere for fruit that wouldn't otherwise grow in the Rocky Mountain climate. So with that idea in mind, this illustrates our need in concert ministry to create a salvation atmosphere in our concerts. If we want the fruit of conversion, that depends on the atmosphere that you are cultivating. So let's read Mark chapter 16, verse 20.
And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs.
Okay, the emphasis here that I want to look at is that they preached everywhere. What were they preaching? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we do in our concert ministry. So let's look first at the gospel focus. So our concerts need to be gospel focused, where we're declaring the gospel of Jesus throughout the night. Verse 20 again says, they preached everywhere, preaching Jesus, God incarnate, the sinless life of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. And we understand, what does the word preach mean? I'm asking now, what does preach mean? To declare, it's to herald, yeah, to proclaim the good news. That is what the disciples did everywhere that they went. You've been saved here in our fellowship any length of time. You recognize everything we do comes to a point of decision for salvation. It's in our regular services, which you're familiar with that. But that doesn't happen everywhere and at every church. We do this at weddings. We do this at memorial services. We do this at our concerts. We're going to have a family fun day coming up. We're going to pull an altar call. Everything we do, we preach and declare the gospel leading to salvation. So this is what the atmosphere needs to be at 180, right? Remember, in lesson number one, the primary purpose of concert ministry is? Okay, it's salvation, evangelism, right? It's about sinners. That's the point. That's why we're there. And by keeping the gospel the focus of the night, what that does is it begins to prepare sinners' hearts to respond to Jesus for salvation. See, what you preach during the night is what you will get. Okay, and that's true of anything, any sermon, whatever you're preaching. This is why Pastor Greg teaches us to preach a theme, to narrow in on a theme, because what you're aiming at, that's what you're going to hit. And so here, when we're doing this, in our concerts, whatever we're doing throughout the night, that's what we're going to get. So if your message, Okay? Throughout the night. If you're preaching happy vibes, guess what? Everyone's going to leave with happy vibes. That's what you're getting. If you're preaching, you know, you have these churches, it's all about love and the love of God and the love of, you know, God's love towards us. If you're preaching a love fest, well, you're all going to leave with a love something. All right? They're going to leave feeling love in some way. If you preach self-help, then people are going to leave trying harder in life. But if in your message, in your content, throughout the night, you are preaching the gospel and declaring salvation, you will get sinners saved. Because what you preach in the night is what you will get at the end of it. So this is what Pastor Wayman Mitchell saw when he went to California in 1970. These coffee houses that were evangelistic, that was their whole aim. That was their whole vision and approach of the coffee house. It was created by a man named Don Madison, and these coffee houses showcased Jesus music. That's where that term came from. What are they playing? Oh, it's Jesus music. What's Jesus music? Come check it out. They go and it's all about Jesus. They sang the gospel. People testified about their conversion. And they made an appeal for people who were unsaved to get saved, to give their life to Jesus. So when Pastor Wayman Mitchell saw that, he said, this will work in Prescott. See, he didn't bring back from California the idea of live music. That was already happening. 1969, Woodstock, already happened. Hundreds of thousands of young people already went to see live music and drop acid and smoke weed. It wasn't live music that he was bringing back. He brought back the idea of creating an atmosphere through an avenue that appeals to young people through music to declare salvation and see people get saved. That's what he brought back. He said, this will work in Prescott. We know the history. We talked about it in our first lesson, but the Boys and Girls Club and seeing solid response of visitors, people saved, doing a couple of these concerts at the Armory in Prescott. And is out of that, Harold Warner got saved at a Jesus People concert where they preached Jesus. And we know the rest is history. We look at it today. So this means now for us, this means for us who are involved in whatever capacity, everything we do is for that end result. Every approach needs to have salvation in mind. How are we going to see people saved through this? So, number one, in the prayer room, we are contending for a salvation atmosphere. When we're in that prayer room, it's not the time, you know, to be thinking about anything else except let's see people saved and let's contend for that. Let's pray for that. Let's believe God for that. Let's cry out to God that He's going to anoint us. Anoint every aspect of the night. And we'll get into detail in a later lesson on the prayer room. But if you're involved in a band and it's your music, your lyrical content, the content of your lyrics needs to have the gospel coming through it. If you're involved in drama, the drama content needs the gospel, an aspect of the gospel coming through in that. If it's a testimony, what did Jesus do in your life? What did Jesus change in your life? What was the conversion experience? What did that look like for you? And it's going to hopefully connect and relate to people in the audience. videos needs the gospel content coming through an aspect of it. Each of these creates an atmosphere. And all of these are working together to create an atmosphere for the fruit of conversion. So the focus is specific. Okay? The focus is specific. It's the gospel. That's what we're doing. But it's accomplished through a broad means. There's a wide range on how we accomplish this. A lot of different things going on throughout the night, but we all should have the same focus. So let's think secondly then about concert distractions. See, there is from time to time a number of distractions that come through every fellowship concert ministry. These are things that I'm going to talk about that either I have experienced, or I've heard from other pastors, or even personally, I have had to wrestle through. And so distractions happen for a number of reasons. Let's think first about why distractions happen, and then we'll talk about what those distractions are. So why they happen is, and what is a distraction? It's when we are moving away from the gospel focus. When we're moving away from the salvation atmosphere. When we're not making the gospel the emphasis and we're preaching something else. We're preaching happy vibes. We're preaching just connect with people. Just connect with the community. We're shifting away. Why does that happen? Number one is because of misunderstanding. People pull away from the gospel focus when they misunderstand the primary purpose. That is evangelism. We're here to win souls. But when you misunderstand that, when your focus isn't soul winning, it's going to change your direction. Right? It's going to change the involvement aspect that we talked about, where people are involved for what? For evangelism, but now they're involved for something else because they misunderstand the primary purpose. We now lose the development factor, where people's characters are being developed, where lives are being developed and being used, where gifts are being cultivated and people are rising up. But when you misunderstand the gospel focus, that's not happening anymore. You lose the discipleship factor. You lose the aspect of a disciple coming up at the end of the night and preaching the gospel and learning how to fight for dominion and learning how to contend for a night. And all of that gets missed because we misunderstand the primary purpose. Let's read Hosea 4 and verse 6, and it's just the beginning there, Daniel.
My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge.
That's it. Okay. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When you misunderstand things, certain things are going to get lost. When you misunderstand things, certain things are going to get muddied. When you misunderstand things, certain things are going to get forgotten in the night. Certain things are going to get dismissed. Right? So all of this, now you lose it. Because you misunderstand it. This, guys, has to become your own. This is true of concert ministry. Because if you go out and you're just going to do a concert, well, because that's just what we do. You miss the point. You misunderstand it, and it's completely barren. Yeah. Vows of exampleship. You need to own it for yourself. It's not rules. I get people from time to time, are you aware people are breaking the rules? I'm very aware. I'm absolutely aware. But I'm hoping someone will, they'll catch the spirit of it and build convictions for themselves. And you see it in a ministry. You see it in a ministry when someone builds convictions for themselves. When someone isn't doing it because how close can I get to the line without getting kicked out of ministry? You see that in their ministry. You see their pride. You see their carnality. And you see the results. It's a lack of fruitfulness. I know because I've lived it. I was that guy. But when you see someone take it for themselves, but you've got to understand it. It has to become your own. But when you don't understand, you pull away from it. It's a distraction. Second distraction, the reason for it is pride. Right? When someone's pride is the defining factor of their ministry, when they view it only, it's their opportunity to shine. Right? Hey, hand me the mic anytime. I'm the best rapper you've ever heard. Yeah, I think every rapper says that. Absolutely. Right? Or it's their time to shine on the guitar, or it's their time to shine on the drums, or whatever that is. It's their opportunity to perform. Now they get to live out and be the rock star they think that they are. In their pride, that's the focus. And now you're going to start misunderstanding. And you're going to start losing your gospel focus. In pride, because it's about shining, because it's about performing, because it's about being on the stage, it does not become about souls. And that's those people that function in ministry like that, they're very frustrated. They're very insecure. They're very difficult to work with. Because it's their pride and it's their ego on the line. Or in pride, some begin to ignore the principles of what we're doing because it's outdated. You don't get it. It's not outdated. Every concert, right? Concerts really haven't changed as a whole. They've become more engaging through audio and visual effects, but the whole idea of a concert is actually the same as it was Woodstock 1969 and even before Elvis in the 50s. It's the same. So you think you've got this new idea, the world is doing the same thing 60 years later, right? So you don't get it. You think it's outdated. I have a better idea that will be better. No, you don't. And in fact, this idea that we've been doing for 53 years is tried and true. And when it's executed with the precision that it was intended to be, it works. It works. But blinding pride, you misunderstand it. You miss it. Because you're not seeing it and you haven't caught the revelation of it. Lastly, then, is distractions, they happen because of barrenness. When a concert ministry is barren, and what that word means is there's no fruit, there's no tangible results of people getting saved and people locking in and a flow of visitors. This causes people to pull from the memorial stones as a way to explain away the lack of fruitfulness. Right? In barrenness, that's when people say, you know, this just doesn't work anymore. In barrenness, that's when people say, well, this doesn't work here. In barrenness, well, this isn't fruitful because people are different now. People have changed. In other words, in barrenness, we look for an explanation to pull away from what we have been taught and what we've learned. So whatever avenue, those are three possibilities. Now let's identify what those distractions look like. So whether it is you misunderstand it, your pride is blinding you, or it's barrenness, what do the distractions look like? Number one, they look like professionalism. So now people begin to lean entirely on the natural. You know what? You know what the problem is here? The problem is we're not so professional. That's why people aren't getting saved. I've seen some professional things in New York. I was able to, the arts there, they it's on a totally different level. I've been to Broadway, and after every single professional show I've seen, never once have I thought I needed to change my life. Not once did I ever think my life is changing from this day forward because of the Lion King. Right? It was professional, but it wasn't life-changing. But this is what happens. It's professionalism. We need the most talented. We need the most charismatic. And there becomes this imbalance where you lean on the natural and neglect the spiritual battle and the spiritual reality of a concert ministry. Right? And now it's all leaning one way. No, people aren't getting saved because there's a lack of anointing. People aren't getting saved because the gospel isn't being presented with clarity or at all. Right? So here it's this, and that could be because they misunderstand their pride or barrenness, so let's lean on professionalism. Or it's content. Content. People begin to want to hide the gospel. And you get this from time to time. You know, why do we lure people into a concert and then give them the gospel and then they leave? You know, we should hide the gospel. That's your pride talking. That's your ego talking. That's your own rebellion that bucks against this talking. It can be in there. Right? So what happens is they hide the gospel and music now becomes strictly vibes. That's all it is. Oh, this is a vibe song. Oh, this song has vibes. Oh, this has vibes. Yeah, and you're not talking about anything. You're just creating vibes. Congratulations, but no one's going to get saved on vibes. Dramas become either entertainment focused or Christianese. And it's just in-house. Only Christians get it. Only Christians laugh at it. And only Christians find it. It doesn't appeal to the sinner in one way. But because, again, it's a distraction. The content has to change because I have a better idea, or you don't understand, or you're in a season of barrenness. Videos are clean, but they have nothing to do with the gospel. Right? Or it's a weak gospel application. And in your mind, the content really is just about getting people into the concert. We had 100 visitors, but you're not reaching them for salvation. To me, success is not 100 visitors, 0 saved. To me, a success would be even 1 visitor and they get saved. And they lock in. And they one day get involved or become a disciple. That's success. Stigma would be the third distraction. People become ashamed of the gospel. And they want to remove the spiritual dynamics from a concert. I've had this. Pastor, let's not have prayer meeting just before. Why? We pray and there's a 30-minute gap between from when we pray and when the concert starts. There's no visitor coming an hour early or even 30 minutes early. But this happens to people. That it's the stigma. But what if my friend I invited comes in and we're worshiping God in tongues? It's probably not going to happen. In fact, they're probably going to get there late and miss your band. Right? But it's the stigma of it. You get ashamed of the gospel and the spiritual dynamics. Let's not have tongues and praise in the concert. Right? After the altar call, people say, and we say, let's give God praise. For some people, there's stigma to that. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. Let's not pull an altar call at all. Or let's just do a mass prayer. Why make them all come to the front? You know, let's not take an offering. That just seems kind of weird, don't you think? Like, visitors come and then we're asking them to give. You know what? The only people worried about that are religious people. Those are the only people that have ever complained to me about this type of stuff. Religious people and carnal Christians. Sinners, I've never had a sinner say, you know, I just thought it was a little bit unfair. In fact, some of the things that I have done, people have wanted to give. They said, well, this was free, can we give? Because this was amazing. Our haunted houses, right? Is there a donation? Because that was incredible. No, it's all sponsored. Because we just want to see lives changed. Sinners want, when they get converted especially, it's only religious and carnal people, but these are distractions to the salvation atmosphere, and they hinder that evangelistic focus. Like I said, these are things that I've experienced coming into churches, and you gotta get the feedback of the ideas behind their constant ministry. These are things that I have heard from other pastors, and they're wrestling through, and how do I deal with, and or they're things, like I said, that were in this heart that I had to work out. So let's close. Let's talk about the gospel declaration. Now, everything I've said, it can be taken out of balance. Everything I've said isn't to say that you should only lean on the spiritual. Right? It's like Pastor talks about teaching and preaching. Prepare a sermon. Oh, I don't have to prepare. I let the Spirit move and guide me. Yeah, but you've preached the same sermon every single sermon.
Yeah.
Right? This is why we prepare and look at what we're preaching. Are we preaching the full counsel of God? It's not to say you lean only on the spiritual. We don't need to practice because there's anointing. We don't need to worry about it because there's anointing. We don't need to plan because we... No, there's a balance. There's some people, they think it doesn't have to be listenable because God will help us. Yes, it does. It doesn't have to be tight and quality because God will help us. Right? Or it should be. There's some people, it should be hyper spiritual so that God will help us. I got a video of a guy screaming, like a screaming grunge song, created me a clean heart. It's like, okay, now you're just hyper spiritual and that's not connecting to anyone. That's imbalanced the other way, right? We were talking about natural and in losing spiritual. Now it's you lean too much. It's imbalanced the other way. Martin Luther said human nature is like a drunk peasant. Lift him into the saddle on one side and he topples over the other side. That there should be both working in harmony. In other words, pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on you. That's a balance. It's both. In harmony. And how do we do that effectively and well? We keep the vision and the goal in mind, which is salvation atmosphere. We're cultivating and creating a salvation atmosphere. So if that's our focus, how do I contribute to that? If that's our focus corporately, how will I contribute to that? If that's our focus corporately, that it's a cultivating a salvation atmosphere, then what needs to change? And what needs to happen so we can see that? And it's really applying our hearts to that, but you've got to get a heart for souls. You need to ask God, give me a heart for souls, because when the heart is there, it translates. It translates into the night. So let's consider three steps to accomplish the gospel declaration effectively. Number one, and this is for anything. This is for anything you do, whether this be a regular concert, whether this be a special night. We've done some cover nights. Whether this be a play. Whether this be... a big event outdoors. Number one, whatever you're advertising, deliver on the promise. That's what we have to do. We have to deliver on the promise. There's one thing, one of the number one things about advertisement and business is when you don't deliver on the promise. You make a promise of the world's best cup of coffee, and it is not the world's best cup of coffee, you've lost.
Yeah.
If you make a promise on that you have whatever it is, and you don't deliver on that, that's not going to work for you. So, how do you deliver on the promise? Number one, it should be good. It should be appealing. It should be catchy. It should be trendy. That's not evil or carnal. You're delivering on the promise. Right? This is what we're going to have. When I outreach for 180, just knowing who's ministering that night, I can appeal. I was talking to a group of young guys yesterday on outreach, three guys, high school age. I was like, you guys like concerts? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got free one downtown. We're talking about it, and they never heard of 180. So I said, you guys like blues? I don't know if that's right. Oh, yeah, I love blues. You know, I start talking about artists, and they knew them. And I said, oh, well, this group that's playing tonight, they do covers of those bands. And I know that, Scotty can deliver on the blues promise. That's why I can hype it up. And they say, oh, man, we can't make it this week. But next week, I say, you know what? Next week, we've got more modern contemporary sound. You know, this band's like your age. What? Serious? And you just start talking. I can hype it up. Now you've got to deliver on the promise I've made. Right? So, and whatever that is, let the promise of a concert be just that. That's why we have practice rooms, so bands can practice. That's why we have sound and the board that we have, that things can be done well. The board has the capacity. Does the brain inside the one manipulating that board have the capacity? Lights. Pastor Cassio has poured into lights, has figured this out. But are there others that can carry that? It's all there because we want to deliver on the promise. Okay, and that's why we have that. It's not wrong. It's not carnal. It's delivering on the promise. So that people, when they come in, what their expectations are, that's what they're getting. Find your strengths. Whatever ministry you're in, find your strengths. Okay, I was in a band for 5 years, and I knew I was not a lead singer. I'm not a band front man. I'm not a lead singer. But you know what? I'm a hype man, and I know I can do that. So I leaned on that. I can hype up a crowd. I can do that. We did the Rage Night, right? And in that, I studied Zach and how he speaks and how he does everything, and I spit those bars like Zach De La Roca. Why? Because we had to deliver on the promise. Okay, but that's the first step. The second step is now you've got to introduce the subject matter. So we deliver on the promise, people are locked in. You're doing covers, people are locked in. Oh, this is good. I want to stay. Then you introduce the subject matter, which needs to come in a clever way, which is what? What is our subject matter? It's the gospel. Comes through the lyrics, comes through the drama applications, comes through testimony and transformation, comes through video and it's relatable. You're introducing and you're bringing in the gospel. You're getting that subject matter in a clever way, in an appealing way. In a current sound, in current and applicable things that people can relate to and connect with. And the third step is you aim for the heart. There needs to be in every concert, in every outreach, in every special event, this climax point at the altar call where the gospel shines on salvation. Where it's this moment where people are completely gripped by everything that's been presented. And they recognize and know, I need Jesus. That's when you aim for the heart. You know, when we, just as a way of describing, when we did the Rage Night, I was running with the guy that wanted to do it, Ollie. I was running with him. He was inspired by this. So I'm moving with his inspiration. One thing from the very beginning, I said, how do we aim for the heart though? How do we do this and deliver on the promise, but introduce the subject matter? And we had two guys testify. And we did their videos, video testimonies of their story. And we created a set. And we shot those videos on a set there at 180. I mean, we went all the way. Because you've got to. And then we aimed for the heart. The final song, Where Would I Be Without Jesus? And you've got to bring this to a point. And people were saved that night. But we aimed for the heart. We could do it in fun ways. The super fairy tale. Right? Wrote that out. It's fun. It's awesome. And it's heroes and princesses. But you aim for the heart. In whatever it is we're doing, we must aim for the heart. I'm telling you guys, if you are in a band, that closing song needs to be the gospel. And I'm telling you, there are times when I was in a band where we would play our final song, The Cost. And it was just one of those things. Heaven would come down. And we could feel it as the band. There were times where it was like, I can't even sing the words because I'm so grateful for salvation. It was an anthem of salvation. There were times people were praying in the audience, weeping, praying for salvation before the altar call. That's that climax point of it, where the gospel shines and it's right there. It intersects with their heart. You've got to make that your aim. The altar call preacher must make that their aim. Because you might have a night where that's not happening, but then the altar call preacher comes. And there's a dimension and a dominion. Or I've seen, you have that through the night, and the altar call preacher comes out and... Darn it! Everyone contributes to this. Not just one or the other. Not just some and someone else. Everyone contributes to this. This is concert ministry and a salvation atmosphere. Okay, let's open it up for questions. A little bit longer there. But.
As far as offering goes, I've been doing a couple other promotion trainings that can do that. As far as our congregation goes, in our way, is it more practical or spiritual that we do for an offering? I know it's practically helping the ministry as for 180 and you know, things that we might need and stuff like that, but
Well, it's practical and spiritual in the sense, Gabe, that the concert ministry is a microcosm of future ministry, pastoral ministry. So, for example, I can speak from my own experience. When I took over as concert director, the church was actually purchasing everything for 180. Refreshments and all of that, and that was just what was at the season. When we started being concert directors and me understanding that this is a microcosm of ministry, I'm learning people skills, I'm learning how to lead people and them follow and get on board with what I'm doing, I'm learning how to preach and get dominion, I'm learning all these different aspects, but ministry is also involves money. And so while nothing's being paid for, as we begin to see results of salvation, of visitors, of new converts, and testimonies of new converts, and there's this flow that starts to happen, guess what? Money starts going up. And I had Sharon Allen ask me one time, you haven't asked for money, or you haven't given me any receipts for 180. I said, oh, we're paying for everything. And she was happy to hear that. Because the ministry, it should hold its own, right? But that happens when things are happening. That happens when there's a flow, when souls are being saved. So I learned money, and then we were able to make some very large purchases for 180 through that you know, account. And I learned about money there. I learned about money and ministry there, right? And that is one of those things is you are, it's very practical. There are, yeah, sure, things we buy and supplies, etc. But then, you know, I learned some valuable lessons in it and through it. And so it's both, actually. It's practical and it's spiritual. And it's teaching. It's another part that teaches a disciple for future ministry. Yep.
Yep.
Definitely.
Pastor?
Yeah.
So when you speak about people wanting to hide the gospel in the actual production of 180, or whatever concert ministry
sure.
you may have, what's the difference between wanting to separate the gospel from the actual production and then the separation of the gospel from, like, the advertisement of 180, or, like, when we go out to hand out flyers and stuff like that? What's the difference in tact there?
Well, it's not so much that we're, you know, you don't have to hide it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. But again, that comes back to the delivery, mm-hmm. right? It's one of those things that, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday where I started with the Family Fun Day and a flyer there. We're at the park. And just through conversation, by the end of it, the guy was so open. By the end of it, he wanted to come to 180. And he knew by that point it was a Christian venue. And thirdly, come to church. Right? So I was able to give him all of our flyers. But that happened through conversation. That happened, right? If you just come up, I want to invite you to a Christian concert. That doesn't necessarily appeal to people. If you come up and you begin to engage with them, right? That's the thing. You can just paper mache the town. That's not so effective. But I'm believing God, number one, that I'm going to see Cody again, and I know that I am. I told my wife, I'm going to see Cody around town. I know it. And I'm going to keep that going. But we had such, he was so open and was at such a crossroads in life that I'm telling you, it's one of those things. Nick, it's not that you have to hide it. That's not what we how we approach it. But it is an appeal, right? That's what we're doing. We're appealing to someone's interest in however we do that. So, but at the end of the day, we know we're going to present the gospel in it, right? We're going to present the gospel in it. We are going to bring people to it. And not only that, people have learned who we are too. We're not in a big city, right? But you build reputation, you know. And in Rochester, we had people that came every year to our haunted house and would pray the prayer because they got convicted in that moment. But those seeds were planted. But they came and they knew it was a Christian haunted house. They just knew that they were going to get quality, right? But in that, though, you're keeping a relationship and you're keeping that seed planted. You're cultivating it because God's going to one day breathe upon that seat, right? And so with it, it's not, that's a misunderstanding to think you don't say anything about church, you know, but it is one of those things I engage to get a feel for people so that then I can introduce that invitation, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, I'm always looking, Nick, always looking on outreach, not just to invite people, but I'm always looking for the opportunity to witness and preach Jesus, because you get them saved, you'll definitely get them to that outreach, to that concert, to that, right, whatever it is, and they'll bring people, right? So I'm always looking for opportunity in my witnessing, in my outreach. Yep.
So the focus that you have in concert ministry is the same focus you want to have in yourself. I mean, for out and about, because that helps build the atmosphere that you don't stray from that focus.
Absolutely, exactly.
And so that's huge, because if it's like, you know, I'm like, all right, well, I can't wait to impress the pastors with what I can say, you know, for, you know, the focus is more or less based on my performance, my value for myself, from how the reaction is from the people of the congregation. But it's important to remember that the focus isn't what I can do, it's what God can do with people, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
So we maintain.
Yeah, which is why we need to pray for a heart for souls.
Yeah.
If, when you have a heart for souls, everything you do is filtered through that, Trevor. Everything you do, it's not about you, it's not about being able to say, you know, I prayed with 100 on outreach, you know, and so it's, no, man, I had the opportunity to pray with this group of people. It was incredible, it was amazing, and now they get to make heaven their home.
Because that's the thing, like, when I witness and I'm outreaching, I pray for people and I get, like, response. I was talking to Pastor Cassio, and I'm, like, worried that, like, I'm going to be my, you know, I'm gaining, like, sort of my pride or something. It's like, I feel like my value is up because of what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And I want to give it to God. So, what is it? Would you say being grateful is how you prevent pride? You know what I mean? Giving it glory. That's one thing. I hear the voices like, oh, you know, like, hush. You know, like, no. You know, listen. All right?
Yeah.
It's exciting to be excited about it.
Absolutely.
But I don't want that to make.
Right. It's not your worth. Right? It's not your worth or your value.
Because it can stem into the consequence.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
When you're pioneering and you want to put on a concert, and let's say you have three or four guys and their wives, or whatever that's your three or four concert in general, and they're not necessarily following ministry standards, so you know even if you gave them a paper, it's not going to happen. So you want them to be able to minister and help you out in your concert, because, you know, more hands, whatever. But you know that as far as anointing in the spiritual aspect, it probably wouldn't be a good idea. But I know you and you and your wife and maybe your kids can't put on the production that we put on the Prescott.
Sure.
So you may do a smaller version of that. I just wanna know, I've seen maybe there are things that they can help with that aren't necessarily ministry.
Sure. Yep.
But where's the line between, okay, this is too much help without them being following, you know, the standards or whatever it may be? And how does that work on a pioneer church versus something as big as we have there?
Yeah, but with that, it's a good question, because guys can make the mistake coming from their mother church that a concert only looks the way their mother church does it. So you don't do it any other way. It's like, we need bands, we need drama, we need testimonies, we need video. Yeah, but that's probably not gonna happen, or it's not gonna happen well, right? We're not even talking good or great. It's not gonna happen well. and so what you gotta do is learn to lean on your strengths. What can we do, and what are we good at with what we have, right? Like I said, one of our lessons in Santa Fe, we, coming in, had about, you know, 30, 35 people when we first took over. They were all, you know, older, long-term saints that had stayed with the church. They weren't really ready to go throw on a concert. There was a handful of people involved. So what did we do? We did what we could. If we couldn't get a band in once we started concerts, and this was down the road, we were doing them once a month, not every week, right? So I would get a band in, because we had Albuquerque, Las Vegas, Española. We had probably about close to 10 churches to draw from. We could get one of their bands. I can run sound. Then the rest of our group can focus on quality dramas and getting some testimonies. But we don't have to worry about the band thing, right? And then as we grew and more people got saved and involved, then it became bigger, to the point when I was leaving, I had three disciples preaching altar calls. We had multiple bands. We had, you know, sound man. Like, it flowed. And that was in 3 years. So, but you start where you are and you do what you can. Well, you got to find your strengths. So we found our strengths. Our strength at the beginning was drama. That was our strength. We had some great, you know, people involved, very good ideas, but we just didn't have the bands. We just didn't have the people. So we'll get them in from the area. And then, like I said, I can run sound. I can do that well. But you use your strengths, right? You focus on that until you can build, right? Yep. So you got to find those things you can do good. Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Started where he was at. Yep. What he was good at. Good with. Yep.
So when I was in a band a handful of years ago, I just remember like your band, Lover of Dread and 11th Hour, like the altar call songs, you know?
Yeah.
But I just remember like our band, like we were, like, you know, I think Pastor Greg was challenging us, like working on focusing on lyrics.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like having that effective altar call song. What would you recommend, like, I mean, it's like an anointing thing, contending for that, and then, you know, you're obviously being purposeful in how you're writing lyrics. Is there other things that a band can do to kind of break through as they're trying to get those altar calls?
Sure. Well, it definitely, Daniel, comes from your focus, mm-hmm. whatever you're focused on,
yeah.
right, is what's gonna flow out of you. So if your focus is salvation and cultivating that atmosphere, then it's gonna naturally come out.
Okay.
Secondly, is that heart for souls, right? Is, yeah, you know, like I said, everything I'm talking about in these concert ministries, I learned because I was the carnal band member, but in Love Runs Red, there was a shift in my life personally, and then in leading and teaching and guiding our band, all of us, we fell in line with it. But when we fell in love with souls, there was a complete shift. When we were on outreach, we were supporting every neighborhood outreach. We were not just playing on a stage, we were involved in soul winning and in follow-up. And that's where those songs came out of. It came out of working with people. It came out of surrender and obedience. It came out of a prayer life and reading your Bible and right is we want to make it this formula, but it came out of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's what it came out of. And the whole sound was just a God factor. And not only that, is we were also open to receive from our pastor. Pastor Greg pulled our band aside at one point and said, "Guys, you have one sound, that means you win one people group. I'm challenging you to broaden your sound so you can broaden your audience to win a wider range of people." And we took that. I remember coming. We wrote a song. I said, "Guys, I wrote a country song." And they were, we're a rapcore band. It's like, right, that's not what we do. But that's what we did.
Yeah.
Right? And we started, you know, going into other avenues. We had a wide range of music, from punk to rap metal, to country, to contemporary, to blues feels, to reggae feels, like everything we could do, we did. But again, that comes out of relationship with God and your focus. Yeah. Yeah, one more here.
Yeah, so what he was saying, because I was worried about that too, like I've been to a couple small churches and I've seen like the music scene is kind of like, you know, sluggish, they got the kids doing it and stuff too, but if the focus tends to be like, oh, we need different content, you know, that's going to mess it up. So you're saying to build that church, that you have to maintain that atmosphere, and that atmosphere will naturally, like you're saying, will bring in people, get them saved, help the concert grow, people will invest, you know what I mean? And it'll naturally work by maintaining. It's not about what else you can do. It's about maintaining focus.
It's keeping the focus and doing what you can, what your strengths are, leaning on your strengths.
It's not about changing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to lean on your strengths.
So,
do it well.
So instead of looking out, look more in.
Yeah.
And then where do we have faith in God? He's gonna.
Yeah, absolutely.
Work in that.
Yep. Yep.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good, guys. We'll stop right there and we get these out.